Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here. American Family Insurance can help protect your dream home for whatever comes next. You can live in your own oasis or your own clubhouse. Whatever you choose, get the right coverage. Save up to 23% by bundling home and auto. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies. 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring clinical and forensic psychologist Joni Johnston.
We're talking about BTK with Joni Johnston. I saw your name pop up on a list with that, with the nationwide task force that's being put together, along with a lot of other friends and guests that have been on this show on a regular basis. Tell me about that. Tell me about the task force. What is your role within that, and where does that go from here?
Well, it's really interesting because it's a multidisciplinary group, obviously, which I think gives us a lot of advantages in terms of being able to see things from a lot of different perspectives. We all signed non-disclosure agreements. And of course, being a psychologist, I tend to err on the side of caution.
Sure.
In terms of learning, you know, not disclosing too much information. But basically, I think our role is just to look at the evidence, you know, kind of serve as a roundtable in a way to bring our different perspectives and see if there is any connection between Dennis Rader and some of the crimes that, you know, at least superficially appear to be potentially connected to him.
And that's an interesting thing. As we look deeper at this, there's, I believe the last time I talked to, I think it was not Eddie, but it was Gary Upton last week. He was believing there was about four possible legit connections to Dennis Rader, some being a bit stronger than the others, one of them being Cynthia Kinney. That case, the evidence, it looks pretty creepy and pretty damning, but there is no body. And all we really have is Dennis Rader's writings at this point, possibly some connections with photos. It'd be interesting to see how that all pans out once they get more of the evidence and such in from Wichita to kind of peruse and go through that sort of stuff.
And I think that's a challenging thing when you're talking about drawings and things like that is, you know, we know that serial killers, particularly sexually motivated ones, oftentimes will, you know, journal or they'll write or they'll draw, you know, both fantasies that they have as well as potentially crimes they've committed. Mm-hmm. And so it's difficult to separate that out, which is why you have to go look for the evidence to see which one is true.
When we're dealing with somebody like this who made these just sick drawings of these scenes, but he also took photos as well, is there a lot to be learned between the difference of the photos that he took and the drawings that he took? Is one more fantasy land for him versus one being reality? Or was it all part of his, you know, MO of getting pleasure from these horrible situations?
Well, we certainly know that he recreated some of his crimes that he's been convicted for. Mm-hmm. And there seems to be some interesting interplay between his sadism, which he certainly carried out on his victims, and then putting himself really in that role of being in kind of a victim role and getting some kind of pleasure out of that. And, you know, I've heard several people talk about what that means. Potentially everything from, you know, this is somebody who, you know, if you have somebody who's sadistic, there's always that other side of the coin, which is the masochism, all the way to this is somebody who is attempting to basically prolong or relive the pleasure he experienced at the time by almost acting out his own kind of play or movie, and which allows him to then kind of get back in that space.
Is there any reason right now that you can think of why he wouldn't be coming forward on some of these? He's been given the option of immunity. He's getting pretty up there. I know that Kerry has said that his physical health is not in good shape at all. He's a shell of what he used to be, but she says that his mental acuity is very much there. Is this, I guess that is the question. Why wouldn't he not at this point come out and say something, or is he still waiting to really get his game going?
Well, I think that's a very good question. And I think obviously only he knows the answer to that. Mm-hmm. Kerry, I think, is probably the second best person to ask because she really has done an amazing job assisting the task force as well as law enforcement in general for years on helping to close some of these cases and find answers. So I'm sure she has a good sense of that. You know, are there possible reasons? Well, you know, there's been a lot of suspicion that he began his you know, history of violence when he was overseas in the Navy. And to my knowledge, he's never come out and talked about that. Now, again, there's no hard facts that I'm aware of that say for sure that he did that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't think we can rule out just the fact that just because he has not come forward, if he in fact is involved in any of these additional murders, I don't think we can rule him out, but it does raise a question. Why wouldn't he? Mm-hmm. But I think it's also important to note, this is somebody who's been silent for years.
Yeah.
He hasn't talked to law enforcement for 18 years until the, you know, Rex Huerman case came out with the alleged Long Island serial killer. So yeah. I think there's a lot of questions that we need to get some answers to.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like he has been trying to get some attention within the media with Huerman. He's also been commenting on the Koberger case since that came out, almost becoming a resource in some sick ways where people wanted to hear, what does BTK think of this situation or that situation? And really very much seeming to enjoy the publicity, which I'm halfway wondering if some of that publicity has stirred some of this up in him. But the way that this all began was not BTK saying, hey, I think I'm going to put some clues out there about this woman in Oklahoma at a laundromat years ago. That was actually the work of some of the investigation done by Sheriff Eddie Virden and the Osage County Sheriff's Office. I do have a little bit of issue with what's going on, and I'm just concerned that there's a little bit too much overzealousness going on. Let's try and find another BTK victim. I think it's wonderful if they can. Obviously, it's a horrible thing, but hopefully it could find some closure for those families. But I do have concern of, is everyone in this circle operating on the same page? I know many are. Obviously, Carrie, yourself, and many others on that task force. My concern is the possibility of a reality television show being a driving force, or the possibility of getting into a reality television show being a driving force on this investigation with the sheriff.
All I can say in response to that is I would be really disappointed if that was the case.
Sure.
The people that I know that are on this task force, I really, you know, hold in very high regard.
Everybody, yeah, I do for the most part. I don't know the sheriff very well. I would just be a little bit concerned about that. The optics of it don't look good. That would be just the one thing I would say. Other than that, if they can find some answers, more power to them.
And you're right. You know, at the end of the day, Tony, I think that the check or the reality check is always going to be the evidence or lack thereof.
Yeah.
And so, you know, regardless of what people's motives may be or what they're thinking or hoping or wishing or whatever, it's going to be, is there evidence or is there not?
Mm-hmm. And that will really be the determining factor. And I wish them and everyone who's on that the best, and hopefully some answers can be found, because it seems like there's a lot of things that have been sitting there in those Wichita evidence lockers for many years that if we get some more eyes on them, maybe we'll lead down some directions of closure for some of these families.
You're consuming the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member, exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast, dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.